Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. T.F. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable, it's the incredible. Pisa, a.k.a. T.F. dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so floppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. Underground, staying down cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big X Dale, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
World, it's your boy Vic XL Riding Dirty Radio, back with another edition of the Riding Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip hop and everyday life. Man, I want to say one time for all the good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. Also got to say one time for the good people over at Ride 95, and also all the streaming sites, the on-demand sites that carry all of our programming. Without you guys, we would not have been able to do what we've done for over 15 plus years in this entertainment business. So, got to say, I love you guys. Thank you for always holding us down. All right, y'all make sure, because we're really, really growing our YouTube channel. Make sure y'all hit us up at Riding Dirty Radio on YouTube. Follow us on all our socials. That's Instagram, that's TikTok, that's Twitter at Riding Dirty Radio, and that's RIDINDURTYRADIO. Again, that's RIDINDURTYRADIO. All right, ladies and my boys and girls, y'all know what we do right here on the Riding Dirty Show. We give voice to the voiceless. We are doing what they're doing tomorrow, today. We're setting the trends. We're putting the people out front who got something to say. This is the platform for the trendsetters, the cultivators, the people that are changing the world brick by brick, moment by moment, second by second, day by day. And today is no different than any other day on the Riding Dirty platform. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the show, Bruno MF Mag. What's going on, my G?
What up?
Man, what it do?
How y'all doing, man?
Man, I got to say, I'm very, very humbled to have you here on the show, to give you the opportunity to speak with our family and friends. I don't call anybody a fan because I'm just a man of God, so there's no one that should be a fan of me. But I'm very humbled to have you on the platform.
Appreciate it, man. Much appreciated to you guys for having me here.
All right, so let's get right into it, man. Bruno Mag, let the world know where you are from.
Detroit, Michigan. Midden on the map.
All right, from that D. So,
yes, sir.
My first question to you is, what part of, well, you're from Detroit, but what was it like growing up in Detroit? What was the household like, the family like? What was it like for you growing up in Detroit?
I grew up in a good household. Let's get that correct. My mother is the strongest black woman I know. So
okay,
she definitely took care of all of us. And when she married her husband, that gave us a complete household.
All right. Okay.
So I grew up pretty good.
Okay, so you said when she got married, so you didn't grow up with the rearings of your father. You had a stepfather.
Yes, my father, perished in 83, so I didn't have the opportunity to grow up in the house with him.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. What was it like for someone to come in knowing that your father had perished? What was it like being able, was it a hard adjustment having another male in your life?
No. My dad is like, that's my heart and soul. He taught me how to be a man.
Okay. All right, no doubt. But, you know, a lot of times young men struggle and, you know, be on that, you ain't my daddy.
No, I didn't have that issue. My mother's husband came in the right way, and he embraced all of us. He opened his arms to all of us. And like I said, he taught us all how to, you know, he taught me and my brothers how to be a man. He embraced my sister as his own, you know, and his kids is my brothers and sisters. Like, we embraced each other all the same. Like, it's all love. It was all love from the beginning.
Okay, no doubt. All right, now, what was the music like in your household? What made you fall in love with music?
My mother, my grandmother is a gospel musician. So I used to be in church all the time with them. She's an organist. She played for a bunch of different groups. So I was always around music. And then when they started dropping hip-hop, I was just kind of fascinated with it. Like, simply, I wanted to do that. So when Run DMC dropped My Adidas, I went and reworked it, and I made my own version of it.
All right, what was your version called?
My Levi's. That's when everybody was rocking all the different color Levi's.
Okay. Did you have a visual to it?
No, I didn't. I mean, we talking way back in, what was that, 85, my Adidas came out, somewhere in around there, 85, 86. So, no, it was, at that time, I didn't have a visual. It was just me aspiring to be a rapper.
Gotcha. All right. Now, after you dropped that, what gave you the passion to continue to pursue it, or were you even taking it serious when you did it?
At that time, I was so young, I really wasn't taking it serious. I just knew I could do it. I didn't really start taking rap serious until 95.
Okay, so, man, that's like a 10-year span. What made you start to take it serious, and what made you realize that you could actually use your talent and this tool of entertainment to change your family's life?
One of my partners, man, he came and got me out the hood. You know, I was on them, I was entrenched in the hood, so I was always on the block, you know. I worked,
right.
But I get off work and I hit the block because it was more money to make. But one of my partners, he came and got me off the block like, man, you need to do this music thing. He like, you nice with it. And I initially wasn't really hearing him. And then eventually one day I ended up taking him up on his offer, and I went to the studio with him. God rest my guy soul. My guy, BD, Juan, but that's who introduced me really to the rap game.
Okay, no doubt. All right, now, man, growing up in Detroit is known to be somewhat of a dangerous place. What was it like for you, especially when it comes to staying out of trouble?
Well, I always stayed in my own lane. So I've always believed if you stay in your own lane and you ride your own wave and you a trendsetter and you don't follow trends, then you can stay out of a lot of trouble.
Okay. So there was never any temptations there, never any brushes with the law?
Oh, yeah, I done had my hiccups, my run-ins. I done had my fair share of bracelets on my wrist. I ain't going to lie about that. You know, I done did all of that, but eventually, I grew up, and I knew that was definitely not where I wanted to be. I'm claustrophobic.
I got it. Me too, my man. Me too, and I hate too tight bracelets.
Yeah, so I just made it in my mind. One, I'm not a follower, so I couldn't never follow nobody because I'm my own man. I'm a leader by nature. So I've always seen things a different type of way, and I feel like it's something that's going down that I don't want to be a part of. I know how to remove myself from the situations.
Okay. All right, now, Detroit is known for some legendary MCs. Like, who are some of the artists coming out of Detroit that you favor coming up?
Oh, you talking about as I was coming up?
Yes.
Ah, shit. Austin Dre, Prince Vance, Trick, Goon Squad, Play School. Some of these cats, I don't know if you guys heard of all of these cats, but we had some dope MCs in our city, you know what I'm saying? Big Herc, Rock Bottom, Street Lords, like, I still go crazy off of, like, Rock Bottom, Big Herc music, Street Lords, Blade Icewood. Like, I listen to all of that still to this day.
Okay. All right. So, 95, you decided to take it serious. What was that process like for you when it comes? Because the first thing I know you got to do is find a sound that's going to engage the masses. How hard was it for you to find the sound that you could identify with and your fans could also identify with when it came to you as an artist?
It really wasn't so hard because my partner Juan introduced me to my guy Snake and my partner Eric Norman, and we ended up forming a group. So with us having a group, we all had separate identities. But our sound together was just, the chemistry was crazy. So once we became the Black Cause of Notion, we were making music together. It was only popping from there.
Okay, no doubt. All right, what was it like for you as an independent artist pushing your music throughout the streets of the D?
I guess you could say, you know, everybody had their struggles, but if you apply yourself and you believe in yourself, eventually people will take to what you're selling. So I stayed at it. You know, it was a time where I would wake up every day as an independent artist. I slide out to Walmart every day and get at least a sleeve or two sleeves of CDs, 100 CDs, put my music on there. I pressed my own CDs up, did my own covers, and got out on the slab and was slinging them. So
I asked a lot of artists this question. I'm sorry for interrupting. I asked a lot of artists this question. Like, times have changed where everything is online and streaming. But you came up on the era where you used to have to do what I call hand-to-hand combat. Get out there and actually be a salesperson and convince people to buy your music. Do you miss the old days?
Yeah, you know why I really miss it? Because when I was selling my music like that with my CDs, I had more fun doing it because I could ride somewhere and bang my sounds. And once they realized that's my music plan, it was easier for me to sell my CDs.
Okay. No doubt. Now, how do you feel about the era now when it comes to being able to actually touch areas that you couldn't touch in your vehicle back then?
I actually think it's kind of dope. I'm not even going to lie. They was trying to show this to us like almost a decade ago when they brought that Empire program on. But I think it's dope. Like, I like the streaming platforms, and I like the internet wave that you can actually get on. I do miss that hand-to-hand and really interacting with people and letting people get a chance to really get to know you. As well as, I think, in our day, we didn't have so much malarkey going on in the game with the way it is now.
Definitely. Now, let's talk about your love and your passion for food. Because not only are you a dope artist, but I'm hearing that you dope with them pots and pans.
Yeah, going on in the kitchen with the pots and pans. So you mad at Bad Chicken on the OnlyFans. Yeah, that's me, man. I love cooking.
So where did the love for cooking come in for you?
Inside the household. And it was a restaurant on the corner of my block when I grew up. So I used to slide down there first and foremost and hang out all the time. I used to get ran out of there. Then The owner, he ended up giving me a job. I ended up doing the dishes. I was a young dishwasher. I was like 15, but I was curious. So my partner, I had a set of partners, they're twins. Their older brother was the cook up in there. So when he would leave at 2 o'clock and the restaurant stayed open at like 4, I would take my opportunity then, try to lock them 2 hours down. That's when I started cooking.
Okay. All right, what were some of the first things you began to practice on when you got a chance to do it on your own?
Chopped chicken. It's just a dish y'all probably didn't hit to. Chopped chicken. Hot roast beef. And then it was just something that naturally came to me, just the cooking. So I went from there. I ended up getting a job at Little Caesars. That was my very first job where I was getting a paycheck. So I started doing that. I worked at Little Caesars for a minute. I slid up out of there. Oh, man, where did I go? Because I ended up just going from restaurant to restaurant, but I was elevating my skills as I moved along every restaurant. So I ended up becoming a cook in, like, all of the five-star restaurants. And from there, I just started elevating the chef status because it was just something I knew how to do.
Okay. What is your go-to dish?
Lamb chops. I'm the lamb chop king.
Okay. Oh, man. Ain't nothing like some good lamb chops. Now, at what point did you progress from being in a restaurant to actually creating your own business or your own catering service? When did you move from one facet to the next?
I left, I was working at this spot called the Detroit Seafood Market at the end of 2016. I left there and I went into the underground world. So I started rocking all the gentlemen's clubs and I was having clubs going up because of my food. So eventually I got to a point where I'm like, I could do this for myself. You know what I'm saying? Then I got a dope business partner. So me and him linked up. And once me and him linked up, it was on from there. Like, I ain't looked back since.
Okay. All right. Now, what's the name of your catering company?
We got Hungry House, and then we got Creole's Express. So I have two different entities.
All right. How do they differ?
Because Creole's Express caters with Creole food, Creole dishes, New Orleans-style dishes. Then Hungry House is a mixture of my underground world as well as what my team is in there with me and their ideas, their creative ideas. So we bring it all together to make it all work.
Okay. Now, I got to ask, man, being from Detroit, how abreast are you when it comes to Creole cooking?
Cook any dish you want me to cook. It don't matter what ethnic it is.
All right. Have people ever wondered that? Like, man, what does Detroit dude know about some Creole cooking?
Yeah, I had that a few weeks ago. It was a guy from New Orleans. He told me, I'm from New Orleans. I said, oh, are you? He said, yeah, I'm from New Orleans. I was catering. So let me see this gumbo, man. Let me see what it tastes like. He hit it. He's like, oh, shit. He said, give me a large thing with this. I said, yeah. I've always had a good hand with seasoning, man. That's where my biggest special talent come in is I'm pretty good with seasoning.
All right, look, and you know what? I love to cook myself, but I'd be afraid to season. Like, how do you become a expert hand, not too heavy-handed, not too light-handed, when it comes to that seasoning? Because seasoning really is the key.
I think that's something I learned from my mother. I really learned that watching my mother cook. Because she kitchen down. And her seasoning hand is crazy. So she would always talk to me, like, if I go in the house and sit in the kitchen with her, she put it on me. She'll put the game on me while I'm sitting there watching her, you know. And not only am I watching her, I'm really soaking it up.
So what words of advice could you give someone like me who's too light-handed with the seasoning?
Well, I guess in hindsight, it can depend on, like, say if you're cooking for a large quantity of people, because this is where it really plays its biggest factor. You gotta take into consideration how you cooking and who you cooking for. So if you might be just cooking for the family, you know, you don't want to be too heavy on your seasoning. But if you're cooking for a large quantity of people, you want to measure out all of your seasonings. See, me, I can eyeball it if I'm cooking for just the family, and it'll come out perfect. If I'm cooking for a large quantity, I can measure all my seasonings and set them to the side and just add them as we go on.
Did you ever have a fear of cooking for a large amount of people?
Nah, I think I always got up for that. I think I made my staff mad now, because I'd be too turned up. I'd be turned up at 5 in the morning. He'd be like, man, why don't you turn out? I get in the restaurant, and I put my Bobby Brown on, and I'm gone.
So Bobby Brown is the go-to music when you're cooking?
Every morning is my prerogative.
I got you. Words of wisdom. All right, what do you prefer, man? The mic or the cooking spoon?
That's a good question. Honestly, I really can't tell you, because I love both of them equally. I really love both of them equally. Like, I love to perform. So when I'm on stage, I'm a whole totally different person. And I love to cook. So when I'm in the kitchen, I'm a totally different person. I think I like to see the satisfaction on people's faces when I cook and they taste my food, just like I like to see the satisfaction on people's faces when I perform and I take them by surprise and they like, oh, he just rocked this piece.
Okay. What have you learned from cooking that you've been able to apply in the music side of things? And what have you learned on the music side of things that you've been able to apply on the catering side of things?
I just feel like music and food kind of go hand in hand. And with me working in the underground world, it's almost like a gateway to really being able to jump off the porch with your music. Like, I worked in all the gentlemen's clubs, and I built my name up through the underground, the Lamb Chop King. So, bam, that allows me to be able to be in contact with the DJs, rub elbows with the DJs, as well as be able to elbows with the who's as an industry when they come to the city. So I would say, as far as my cooking, it has allowed me to meet a lot of people. Then I get a lot of people who come to the restaurant to had an opportunity to meet me, my staff, all of us, kick it with us. And with the cooking, I don't know, it's just a natural thing. I've always did it. So, like I said, with my cooking, for me, it's just going in the kitchen and cutting my music on and just letting me do my thing.
Okay. All right. What has social media affected most for you? The cooking or the music or both?
Both, actually. It has really helped me on both ends. I would say really my cooking has took that to another level, because like I said, I get a lot of people who pull up on me. Then I got partners from the city who are DJs on big stations down here. They come down to the restaurant and they shoot short commercials here, which allows other people to find out about us, being that we're a small black-owned business, and they come over and they try us out. So,
okay. All right. Now, before I let you go, let's talk about this record that we're going to debut featuring Earthquake. Or is it called Earthquake?
Let me see. It's called Earthquake.
Tell me a little bit about this song, who produced it, what went into recording it, and the concept.
Earthquake is featuring Archie Moe. And that's actually It was an old song of mine. I reworked it. And it was produced by my partner, Brooklyn Bozo, featuring Archie Moe, featuring Brooklyn Bozo. And I recorded it in the Mix Factory up here, which is one of the best studios in the city. But I made that strictly for the ladies. Like, I try to cater my music to the ladies now. Like, I did all the hardcore rapping and, like, you know, but I know women love to dance. They love to, you know what I'm saying? They get their bottles of wine. They sit around. They have their little, you know, they shindig, and they want to twerk it like an earthquake.
Right, no doubt.
I created a song just for that, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I got something for you, ladies.
Okay. And where would people be able to find this record?
I'm on all digital platforms, distributed by United Masters, Apple Music. I'm on Spotify, YouTube, all digital platforms. So iTunes, wherever you go, you can pull my name up. You can pull Earthquake up.
All right, before I let you run and before I have you introduce the record, the name Bruno Mag, what's the origin of that name? Because it's very Bruno MF Mag, I'm sorry. What's the origin of that name?
Bruno MF. I think it's kind of self-explanatory. The origin of my name is really, it was catered to women.
Okay. You was hell on the ladies?
Oh, hell yeah. A whole savage.
The fact that you can cook, I'm sure, took it over the top.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it did. Yes, it did.
Okay.
Before we do that, if you don't mind, I want to say, I want everybody to go to the official, I want everybody to go to Confidence, the official brand website. Check out our clothes. We got Confidence Clothing, the official brand, 1SK Clothing, the official brand, and we got On One Tasty Drinks about to be everywhere for everyone. But you can order your Confidence Clothing right now. Go to the website.
And what's the website?
Confidence, the official brand.
And how can they keep up with you on social media?
They can follow me at Bruno MF Mag. They can follow me at 1SK Entertainment. They can follow me at that's on Facebook. They can follow me at Bruno MF Mag 1 on Instagram. They can follow me at 1SK Entertainment on Instagram. They can follow me at Bruno MF Mag 1 on TikTok.
All right, no doubt. Bruno Mag, it's been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, my G.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. It's been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, man. We riding dirty.
All right. Do me a favor. Introduce your joint.
My name is Bruno MF Mag from 313 Detroit, Michigan. I got this banger for the world. Ladies, catch the wave. It's Earthquake.
Appreciate it, my G.
You're welcome, man. Thank you.
Let me see the city shake. I'ma make it rain, twerk it like an earthquake. New whips, new kicks, new lifestyle. I can see you shining even when the lights out. Let me see the city shake. I'ma make it rain, twerk it like an earthquake. New whips, new kicks, new lifestyle. I can see you shining even when the lights out. Big booty jumping like we in a night crowd. When I look around, all I see is titties out. The nip in my mouth will make me feel real good, a real hood. Baby girl, you about to get some real wood. What's understood, boo, will never have to be explained. You and I know we all about the cash game. So I'm asking if I can see your titties shaking. All I want to see you do is twerking like an earthquake. Let me see the titties shake. I'ma make it rain, twerking like an earthquake. New whips, new kicks, new lifestyle. I can see you shining even when the lights out. Let me see the titties shake. I'ma make it rain, twerk it like an earthquake. New whips, new kicks, new lifestyle. I can see you shining even when the lights out.
I can get carried away if you notice, especially when I see you spare the moment. I've been losing my focus the way you twerking and rolling. Front if you want, I got a blunt for every heart that you've stolen. Keep thinking I can't handle that thing cause it's kinda swollen. And you can get the VIP treatment if you want it. Even without my ice, I'ma still shine on opponents cause I got money coming in while I'm chilling and stoning. When I drink, it to flowing. I'm liking how this is going. I might end up out of more than I intended on throwing. Money piling the air is coming down like it's snowing. Need a flatbed for that ass. I'm a nigga to throw it. You ain't have a clue before, but after this, you will know it. My word got respect on it like a hell of a poet. You can look at me and tell that I like what you show. And in fair exchange, ain't no robbery in these kind of moments. Act like you know it.
Let me see the titty shake. I'ma make it rain, twerk it like an earthquake. New whips, new kicks, new lifestyle. I can see you shining even when the lights out. Let me see the titty shake. I'ma make it rain, twerk it like an earthquake. New whips, new kicks, new lifestyle. I can see you shining even when the lights out.